it Love comes. Talk Radio.
Let me introduce people. We have the lovely Francie Weatherman I did want to. John Link did tell me we were talking before he went live on the air, and he told me your situation. And Edward, I'm really sorry to hear that news. That is pretty devastating.
I appreciate that, Francie. But it's lovely to be talking to you again. I know you called me during the week, but I neglected to call you back. We'll talk later. I'll talk to you tomorrow at greater length. But I'm happy to have you on the show.
We might have something working on with you with T-Tom Mack. What do you think of that?
That'd be wonderful. I would love to talk with him. And I will say that, you know, just for our uninitiated listeners, Francie Weatherman runs the Francie and Friends radio show on Blog Talk Radio, but also she was instrumental in John Link creating this show some 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And we have John McCormick, actor in Bigfoot Blood Trap, along with me, and screenwriter of Two Guys, One Box. And John McCormick also will be appearing in EP, The Immersion Pass, the director's cut, which is stars me, and it'll be at the anthology.
This is actually kind of cool because John McCormick, I don't think you're actually a guest on my show, but your name has been brought up so many times on my show. So I'm really happy to hear what you have to say.
I'm looking for
a guest this Sunday night, and if you're interested, We might be able to...
Certainly. I have been on your show, but it's been a while.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
He's a screenwriter. He wrote Two Guys, One Box. He has acted in EP, The Emerging Past, which will be premiering at the Anthology Film Archives in New York City.
Oh, really? I love that place.
Tomorrow.
Oh, it is tomorrow?
At 6 p.m. tomorrow.
Yikes.
Second Avenue and 2nd Street. John McCormick also stars in The Soulless, Chris Ellenstein's movie. And also, let's see, what the fuck else are you in?
Eat Me. That was, we were in that as zombies together.
The zombie movie Eat Me, yes, of course.
And Hate's Haunted Sleigh Ride I was in.
And you're also the front man of the rock and roll band Street Pizza.
Yeah, we played last night at the Fabulous Idol Hour to great acclaim.
I could not make it. I was with Mr. Jack alone last night.
Okay.
And we also have John Link, Grindhouse Superstar. I'm Edward X. Young, veteran of over 70 Grindhouse horror films. And Mr. McCormick, should it be pronounced like a V, Valpurgis Night, or like a W?
I have no idea.
I really don't know.
I do know it's the night when all evil things hold sway in the world.
It's the night of the witches.
It's mentioned prominently in the book Dracula by...
Yes.
By Bram Stoker.
Bram Stoker, that's right.
When Dracula picks up Jonathan Harker and is driving him back to Dracula's castle, and he stops frequently along the way when he sees a blue glow in the woods to pile up stones where he sees the glow, because on Walpurgis night, buried treasure will glow with a blue light, which Dracula knows, and piles up the stones to come back later to get the treasure.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
If this is true, Link, you should be out there looking around for treasure right now. Mm-hmm.
Well, to get back to the subject, what I want to talk about is attending the witch's Sabbath in one's astral body.
Well, let me interject one thing. It's also a couple of historical anniversaries today. 70 years ago on this day, Adolf Hitler put a Walther PPK to his temple and blew his brains out.
Supposedly, he did, John.
Yes, enough proof to exist to prove this is true.
Where?
Well, there will always be conspiracy theories But anyhow, Hitler deliberately waited and chose this night, thinking it would give him some kind of edge to commit suicide on Walpurgis night. I dare say it doesn't appear that it has. But also, it's the it's also like another tragic a tragic anniversary for the United States of America, the 40th anniversary of the fall of Saigon and the end of the Vietnam War.
60 years ago today, my parents got married.
But anyhow, I'll let John, since he's an expert on Walpurgis Night, the Night of the Witches, which isn't it also called, isn't this the beginning of the celebration of Beltane in Wicca?
Yes.
May Day is tomorrow.
I mean, no, shouldn't the witches be out right now, the Wiccans, dancing naked under the moonlight on some mountaintop?
I don't know about Wiccans.
I'm calling from my cell phone.
Wiccans aren't real witches. Now, to attend the witches' Sabbath in the astral body, one way is by lucid dreaming, which I have much experience in lucid dreaming. Another way is through the way Aleister Crowley attended the witches' Sabbath with the body of light method that was taught in the Golden Dawn. Now, it consists of according to Crowley's written instructions, visualizing one's self, then transferring one's consciousness to it. But practically no one I know of today can use the body of light method because it's very hard to learn it from Crowley's written instructions because they're not in detail. Crowley would teach people personally how to use the body of light method. Crowley claimed that he could astrally project themselves using this method as easy as off one's overcoat. Now, there is more to the body of light method that Crowley didn't write about. It consists of developing the kinesthetic sense to an equivalent of physical sight. The kinesthetic sense is the body placement sensation. Now, Robert Bruce, the writer on astral projection, his energy exercises build up the body of light. This is, I believe, the best way now to build up the body of light, and so one can transfer one's consciousness to it. This is something I'm working on. Now, another way of astral flight, attending the witch's Sabbath, is through using the witch's ointments. Now, I've known about this for many years, but only about a week ago I learned about Sarah Ann Lawless's website. She is a great practitioner, and she's famous for her witch's ointments. She has a website. She tells exactly how she makes the witch's ointments, how to use them, and she sells them too. Her name, Sarah Ann Lawless, spelled S-R-A-H A-N-N-E L-A-W-L-E-S-S, Sarah Jane Lawless. Look up her website. Very interesting. Now, she also is interested in Austin Osman Spare, who was a great practitioner of the witches' practices. Austin Osman Spare. See, Austin Osman Spare, Aleister Crowley, and Sarah Ann Lawless they are much more representative of the witchcraft tradition than are the Wicca people. How many of them can project their astral body or attend the Witch's Sabbath? Or Anton LaVey. I hate him.
Did you ever meet him, John?
No, never met him, no. Hate him from his writing because he's into Ayn Rand.
Mm-hmm.
So disregard Anton LaVey or the Wicca people. Study Crowley.
Why do you disregard the Wiccans?
They're not real witchcraft. I have contact with over the years with Wicca people. And they're very very wishy-washy, whitewashed. Look to Sarah Ann Lawless, Austin Osmond Spare, and Aleister Crowley. Now let's see what's again.
How about Sybil Leek? What do you think of her?
Oh, Sybil Leek! Phony. Phony.
Getting back to Walpurgis Night and relating to what you're discussing, before he created Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard was associated with Crowley's OTO.
Yes, and
Los Angeles,
the California branch of the OTO, and all Crowley had to say about Parsons and Hubbard was that it was very derogatory about them. That they were trying to create a moon child.
Yeah, rocket scientist, black magician Jack Parsons, and future Scientology creator L. Ron Hubbard attempt to conceive the Antichrist on Walpurgis?
A moon child. I don't know what the Antichrist. I believe what's the name the woman who was in the...
They attempted to do it on Walpurgis Night, didn't they?
I think so, yeah. And Crowley was very... It called them idiots or something. About Anton LaVey, both Crowley and Orson Osmond Spare would have spit on Anton LaVey. Now, let's see, get to... there were good sabbatic paintings on the internet. You just have to look for them. And it's there's some good ones on Sarah Ann Lawless's website. Use mental saturation to you meditate on those paintings, and it would help to attending the Witch's Sabbath. Now, let's see, what are they going to say? Oh. What else could I say about it? I couldn't print out anything because I...
Which is a more important holiday for the witches, April 30th or Halloween?
October 31st, right? Celtic holiday.
The biggest. But if you have the ability, you could attend the Witch's Sabbath any night. It's just a traditionally, this night is the biggest Sabbath.
Well, you know, if we're interested, where can we find the naked witches dancing in the moonlight?
Oh, that would be photos. The photos would be on, no, not photos.
I'm talking about
paintings by a 19th century artist, Ron,
where can John McCormick and I go out here on the Jersey Shore to find the actual witches dancing naked in the moonlight?
That would be in the astral body.
John McCormick and I want to get some witch action tonight, man.
I don't think there's any place locally.
No, the Brocken in Germany, Harz Mountains, is one of the traditional places where witches would project themselves.
Oh, okay. So they astrally project themselves to a meeting place.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
And the paintings look like sex orgies.
Uh huh.
Mhm. Yeah, just you could Google
cool.
Witch's Sabbath, and you look, and there's all different places where there's Sabbatic paintings, such as the ones on Sarah Ann Lawrence Lawless's website. Yes, Sarah Ann Lawless is renowned for her good flying ointments.
Okay, so you rub these ointments on and then you're able to fly?
Yes, in the astral body. She tells exactly how to use them.
Have you achieved,
externally.
Have you achieved this level yet?
And no, but I have used lucid dreaming on many, many occasions. Right now it's blocked because the stress that I'm under. See, Crowley could use the body of light method. He could astrally project very well, and he had horrible stress, possibly even worse than what I got now. It's always one of my main ambitions is to learn the body of light method like Crowley did. Only fairly recently I've learned that Robert Bruce's energy exercises will build up the body of light. I learned this from Ron Clark, author of A Barden Companion, the expert on Franz Barden. He has a website too, Ron Clark, RawnClark.
You know, I was wondering about your debate earlier. Are there any actual witches really left? I mean, the art, the culture was all lost. I mean, didn't some guy named Gardner, some crazy English noble, give birth to all of this in the late 19th century?
He gave birth to Wicca.
Making up a lot of
but not
lot
witchcraft,
of shit,
no.
Hmm.
I'm asking the question. Didn't he just make up a lot of shit and fill in a lot of gaps?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gardner. Well, I forget his first name.
Yeah, Gardner. Joe Gardner. I'm very familiar with him. Yeah.
Wasn't he really just after the sex orgies?
Yeah, that's what he was after, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But couldn't you consider Crowley of that ilk, too?
What? No. Crowley could really... Crowley really could use the body of light method to astrally project.
Okay.
Crowley was not of that ilk of Gerald Gardner. What you
Crowley
could do.
You're saying Crowley just wasn't just looking for orgy action under the excuse of attracting people with magic?
No, because of what Crowley could do.
What could he do?
Astrally project. He could. In ceremonial magic, he could evoke the Goetia, and that's a whole other thing. the Gawaish, or the Lesser Key of Solomon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll be talking about that as soon as I succeed with that. Now, let's see.
Why do you think that Hitler
can you guys hear me?
Yes.
I just watched one of the saddest, and John, you might have an opinion about this one. I just watched one of the saddest and yet the most closed videos I've ever seen, like, on the internet.
Oh, what's this?
Yeah, you see a dog, like, chasing down a truck, and they stop it a couple times, and then the dog starts chasing the truck again. It turns out that he's chasing the ambulance, and the ambulance lets the dog into the truck, and he sits by his owner at the hospital.
Oh, boy.
It was, oh my gosh, it made me cry. That's what I've been, I'm sorry.
Oh.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
I always love a good dog.
What is your guys' opinion on that? Like, do dogs, and, you know, we're kind of talking about, you know, witches and everything else. What do you guys think about dogs' love?
Yeah, it's real. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the great books I've read on that subject is Dr. Rupert Sheldrake's Dogs Who Know When Their Masters Are Coming Home and Other Stories.
Oh, my God.
Rupert Sheldrake is very good.
Yeah, when they're coming home from their tours in Iraq and all that, and you only think about the kids because that's all that you see, and then you're watching these dog videos now, and you're like, oh, my gosh, why am I crying harder for this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll let you guys get back to your conversation. This is a really good video.
I was going to say, John Link. First of all, that's for John McCormick.
Yes.
You believe that Hitler actually blew his brains out on this night 70 years ago?
No, I do. No. You haven't read
Bill
Avenda's books.
Wait, I asked McCormick first, then I was going to ask you. John McCormick, what do you believe? Then we'll ask John Link his opinion.
I believe that he did.
And why do you believe he didn't, Mr. Link?
Well, Peter LaVenda has examined the evidence, the forensic evidence, the Russian forensic evidence, and he shows in his book, Ratline, that it couldn't have possibly have been Hitler's skull, that Hitler faked it.
So all the survivors of the bunker, including Hitler's valet, I forget his name, but Hitler's personal secretary, that really hot-looking Nazi chick, Trudel, I forget what her last name is. You're saying they were all lying, and they all managed to maintain exactly, precisely the same lies in separate, intense interrogations by Allied officers.
Peter LaVenda's book, Ratline, recently he has come out with Hitler's legacy. Let me tell you who Peter LaVenda is. Peter LaVenda is also known as Simon of the Magical Child. I attended Simon Peter LaVenda's classes in the early 80s at the Magical Child Bookstore. Peter LaVenda is a powerful ceremonial magician.
Well, what proof does he have that Hitler escaped Berlin?
Read the book.
But then, let's say he managed to do this. What did he do? He just like hid out eating lockwurst in some little shack in Argentina for the rest of his day?
Peter LaVenda was told that Hitler assumed the identity of this doctor in Indonesia. but he is not a, wasn't able to he wasn't able to prove it because the remains were cremated, I believe. Now during the classes, Simon Peter Lavender would be telling us about how he was researching the Nazis. And I've all those years I wondered how did all that turn out. And now, yeah, with his books, I found out after all these years. And Peter Lavender has done interviews on the Gary Null Show a few months ago. Peter Lavender was on Gary Null's show, and Gary Null mispronounced Crowley's name, pronounced him Crowley, showing that Gary Null has never researched Crowley.
Even Ozzy Osbourne mispronounced Crowley's name.
Ozzy Osbourne is not really into Crowley.
Regardless, what I believe, and I think there's enough proof because they made a movie about it, I believe they severed Hitler's head, secreted it out of the country, and kept it alive in a cake box on the island of Honduras.
See, you're trivializing this. You're saying, don't take this seriously.
They saved Hitler's brain. Can you prove it didn't happen?
Oh,
please. Why don't you start writing for the Weekly World News? Can you prove it didn't happen?
Yes. Can't prove a negative.
Yes.
That's how Criswell challenged the audience at the end of Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Mm-hmm.
Can you prove it didn't happen?
To prove it's a fun movie, people have been enjoying Plan 9 from Outer Space for all these years.
I just believe enough proof exists that Hitler really did die in the bunker. I think it's
I believe so as well.
Read the books. Read Peter Lavender's books.
Benjamin Franklin said the only way three people can keep a secret is if two of them are dead.
Uh-huh.
If this were true, why wouldn't somebody have cracked and talked? I mean, there were a lot of people that survived the bunker, and they all told exactly the same story.
There were a lot of people that made it out of the country as well.
Yeah.
And you never heard any story. You've heard about different people like Bormann or Mengele or something surfacing in different places, but Hitler, you don't hear nothing. He never turned up in Paraguay or anything like that.
Well,
read
Peter Lavender's books.
they've been interviewed, and even on the great documentary The World at War from 30 years ago, narrated by Laurence Olivier, his personal secretary, Trudel, I forget her last name, she was pretty hot looking, but also his personal valet. They were there. They witnessed it. They witnessed it. They heard the shot. They witnessed the door opening.
Well, now, I've read accounts where no one did hear the shot, but they just walked in there and it was dead. I've read two different accounts. People said that one that I read today said that they heard the guy heard a loud noise and went into the room and Hitler was dead. But other I've heard that no one heard the shot as well. So...
Secretary
Trudel, the door was closed. She said the door was closed, and although muffled, they heard a bang on the other side, and that one of Goebbels' kids remarked, I think Herr Hitler got a bullseye. And she said, oh, I believe he did get a bullseye. I mean, she reported that they heard the bang on the other side of the door. Regardless, there were enough people that witnessed it and witnessed his corpse, and you know, the myths, it was to Stalin's purposes. It served Stalin's purposes to perpetuate the myth that Hitler was still alive and survived the bunker. I mean, he had the charred remains seized, and they had the piece of Hitler's skull. But Stalin wanted to keep the myth going to discredit the West, that maybe claim that maybe the West, the capitalists, were harboring Hitler and trying to keep him alive. It was really a myth created by the Soviet Union. Hitler died April 30th, 1945.
Read the analysis of the forensic evidence in Peter Lavender's book, Ratline.
But what kind of authority is this guy?
He researched it for many years. He's gone to those places where the Nazis are. Risked his life, probably.
Ron Hubbard told lies and claimed that he researched Scientology by traveling into the deepest jungles of the Amazon.
Oh, he was a liar. He was a liar.
Scaling mountains in Tibet. I mean, he claimed he experienced these things while he actually wrote Dianetics in some little suburban house in Elizabeth, New Jersey over 3 weeks. I mean, people can say they researched anything. It doesn't mean they really did.
No, Peter Lavender is for real.
So you're saying everybody who survived the bunker was lying?
I don't know. Read Peter Lavender's books.
But why would they all lie? Why would they all lie?
Ed, you're not a real researcher. You still think Jesus was a historical person, was dead and came back to life.
Let's just end at the historical person part. There's enough evidence to indicate that Jesus did exist as an historical person. Let's not get into the ecclesiastical, but there is evidence that Jesus existed as an historic person.
No.
Plenty of it.
No. Nah.
Defend your point of view. John McCormick, I'm not going to ask about religious beliefs, but do you believe that Jesus, the man, existed as an historic person?
I believe there was such a person, yes.
Well, you think he was dead and came back to life?
That's something different.
Well, I believe he did, but that's a matter of faith, and we're not going to prove or disprove faith.
Yes.
Well, I'm talking about historical fact as opposed to person.
Well, I believe he was an actual person. Whether he committed miracles is something I don't know about.
But John Link, I wanted to ask you, since we have a few minutes left, why are you so down on Jesus?
Well, because all religion was created.
Let's not talk about religions or churches. What do you object to about Jesus personally, but anything Jesus said?
Because he pretended to be for the poor, but Christianity has always...
Let's talk about the religion. Tell me something Jesus said, one of his sayings, alleged or not, you think is wrong.
I really don't remember.
Let's forget Jesus the God, and let's forget the miracles. Let's just talk about his preachings and the lessons that he gave. What did Jesus ever preach or say or suggest that was wrong?
I really don't remember what he said. I don't remember that garbage.
It seems like he said a lot of good things. It seems like, let's forget the divine aspect. It seems that if people lived the way he suggested, we'd have a better world. It seems that Jesus was a...
He was a
socialist way ahead of his time. He was anti-capitalist. I mean, what's so bad about Jesus? Why do you hate Jesus
because he supports... Where he supposedly, the alleged Jesus was supposed to have said, let's see, what did he say? Oh, I just, it's hard for me to remember that garbage. Oh.
What, love your enemies, forgive people, give to the poor? I mean, what did he say that was so bad?
I really don't remember what it was, all that junk that he, the alleged Jesus was supposed
calling
to
it junk, calling it, you always call it junk, but you can't defend the premise. What did he say that was junk?
Sex is bad. Pleasure is bad.
Wait a minute.
Give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. In other words,
render unto Caesar.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
What's so bad about that? That's an anti-capitalist.
It's supporting capitalism.
No, Jesus certainly did not support capitalism, and also, I mean,
well,
in that one sentence.
Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. In other words, pay to the system. Support the system.
That's not what he meant. That is not what he meant. He misinterpreted this whole message. And also, furthermore, Jesus never, ever said that sex was bad or pleasure was bad. In fact, his first miracle, if you want to believe the miracles, was to keep a party going when they ran out of wine. And the fun was going to die out. The first miracle was the Good Time Charlie miracle.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I mean, John, I think you've probably...
I think you've totally
misinterpreted Jesus based on garbage that other people have told you. You can't even support your premise.
I'm just not a debater. I'm an occultist.
You can't cite one thing that you're saying that Jesus taught or said or suggested, which is wrong or bad.
Well, I really don't remember that stuff that he was supposed to have said.
Well, because there isn't anything bad that he ever said. Maybe there have been religions which have misinterpreted his teachings or twisted it to their own desires. Those are the religions and the faiths and the corrupt faiths which have bastardized his teachings. But his actual teachings as recorded in the Bible, anything that he said personally, there's nothing Jesus said which is bad. It's all good stuff.
Yeah, the Bible. Does anyone have a first edition of the Bible?
I don't know why you hate Jesus so much. Jesus was a pretty cool dude.
Does anyone have a first edition of the Bible?
Well, I don't.
No, because it doesn't exist. See,
I mean, Jesus was
it's a collection of books.
Yeah, but no first edition.
You can't cite one example of anything that anybody said Jesus said which was a bad thing.
One thing you said,
he said that pleasure was bad and sex was bad. No, he never said those things. Never.
Well, did he say have fun?
Anyway, we've got about a minute or two left. Yeah. I want to say thanks to Francie.
Thank you, Francie. You there?
John McCormick.
I'll call
you tomorrow.
I'll call you immediately after this show.
I got to get to sleep. I got to go to a wedding.
I'm calling you immediately after this show.
I got to go to a wedding first thing in the
morning.
Yes,
I understand. It won't take long.
All right, I'll call it. We're 5 minutes. All right.
Yes.
Okay. That was really scary because I was having a conversation with Nick, and I heard, thank you, Francie. Are you there? And I'm like, I thought I put that on mute.
Yeah, we're still here.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But thanks, and I'll try and call your show on Sunday.
Tomorrow, let's do it.
And Edward.
Yes. I'll try to call Sunday.
Why are you such a stranger, my friend? And John,
life has been rough, but tomorrow in Washingtonville, New York, on May 1st, Neil Machino, writer, director, producer of Mold, my greatest movie, is getting married to Julia. Married tomorrow.
Congratulations to Neil Machino.
I got to drive to Newburgh, New York to meet her for the wedding tomorrow. So I'm not going to stay up late, John McCormick. I got to get some sleep before I drive up.
Yes, I know.
Yeah,
relax.
Yeah, whenever